Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
'91 Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power, but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Napping Through Happy Hour podcast, where we talk real life, real drama, in real time. I'm Katie.
I'm Marie.
Hello. How's it going? We have a very special guest here today. She is not only an actress, but a producer, a martial artist, and my person who did the ceremony for my wedding. So a really good friend. Please, everyone, welcome Kimberly Fox.
Hi. What's up?
What's going on, dude? How you doing?
I'm so good. I mean, can we just talk about that wedding day for a second? I mean, I don't know how how many times this probably come up on the podcast, but I guarantee if they were giving out awards for best flower girl at a wedding ever, it would be you, Marie. That memory. And Katie, Mark, and I had the best view for that whole experience. But that was, I think, one of the most amazing moments at a wedding that I have ever been to. And I've been to many. Had two of my own.
Well, that's, I'm glad that you enjoyed my flower girling. It was a great time for me. It was a great time.
It was magic. It was pure magic in the sky.
I was so bummed because I was actually behind you, like, and I got like a glimpse, but like I didn't get to see the entire performance. I just heard the entire crowd just go wild. So,
You know what? That's true. Mark and I were there. You weren't yet in your place because she was laying the flowers for you.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
It's true. No, and you were the highlight of the show. Everybody kept talking about like your performance and everything. Like, oh, she was so good. I was like, I know.
That's so funny. I love it. It just came naturally, whatever it was.
Everything just came together perfectly. It was such a moment in time.
So for the listener, I had everybody come down to a Lizzo song because I didn't want the like dreary, drudgy, like here comes the bride. We're all
violin.
As I told one of the wedding dress places that I went and shopped for wedding dresses, I was like, I want they were like, what's your theme? And I was like, fancy, irreverent, I don't know.
Right? How do you describe your theme? I mean, it was just,
yeah. And then they put, oh, okay, so your theme is fancy, irrelevant. And I was like, no. No, definitely not.
Definitely not irrelevant.
Oh, what's going on? When's the last time you danced, Kimmy?
A couple hours ago.
Do you just like dance in your apartment?
Yeah. So I made it a daily thing. My songs right now, there's two of them.
Yes.
And it's Murder on the Dance Floor, because who doesn't love a good dance, you know, experience from that song?
Yeah.
And then Feather by Sabrina Carpenter, which is like, I listen to a lot of Spotify, like, playlist, like mood booster, or I'll just pick it according. Like, there's one called like villain vibes or something. Like, if you're, I guess, feeling your badassery or something. And I found it's very popular right now, but I don't listen to the radio in a traditional sense. So, anyway, if you haven't heard it, no, I guess not. I mean, it definitely 100% exists. I know that from when I rent cars, but otherwise, it's just right. It's just what's your app that you're listening to music on. So, anyway. Highly recommend the song. It's very fun. Very poppy and floaty.
Feather by Sabrina Carpenter. I'll remember.
Yep. I'm gonna write it's fun. It's a fun song. So yeah, when was the last time you ladies danced?
I feel like I danced at your apartment when we had a ladies' night last Friday. Apparently, I danced in the street, according to a good friend of ours. When her husband came to pick us up, apparently we were dancing in the street. There was much alcohol that night.
dancing in the street. Mate, what song were you dancing to in your heads?
I don't remember dancing in the street. So that's okay. One thing.
Okay, we'll have to ask her then.
Yeah, I feel like we were hugging goodbye and then maybe it turned into a dance. I'm not really sure what it actually was.
A little group.
But Marie, what was the last time you danced?
Last Friday with at the party Nico and I throw. Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us about it. How did it go?
It went really well. It was like, I love nights where I think that like nobody's going to show up. And then like there ended up being like 350 or so people who showed up. So like that was, it was great.
Oh,
night.
That's a big difference.
A few people showed up.
Yeah, they did. I did. We've had like nights. I mean, because of course the worry is always whether, you know, we're going to be paying the artists out of pocket or not. Right. So What we make. And so it's always like, Just want to break even. So when you know the numbers are exceeded, it's always really nice. And I was able to dance because I wasn't worried all night about whether we're going to make our numbers. You know, it was
huge.
I got to have a good time.
You haven't had that in a minute.
No, because I worry constantly. So When I get those moments of respite, like I just. I take full advantage, you know. I had to work early the next day and I still had a few drinks. I was having a great
time. Yes. Yeah. Good. Good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. How, good times.
How are you feeling after that night of drinking, Kimmy?
You know, so Marie, we hosted it at my place and both my dog and my cat were reflecting hangover vibes during the day. It was hilarious. Like they were both laying around. Like they were, I know, it was one of those hangovers. I was telling another one of our mutual friends that it was one of those hangovers that it wasn't like, oh, I'm questioning whether it was worth it. It was one of those hangovers where it was like, I'm fine. I feel like shit, but I'm not like dying. Today is ruined. But I was definitely like, I felt every one of those drinks, but they were worth it. They were worth it.
No, just there moving was a little slower.
Totally moving slower. Glad I didn't schedule anything. Just definitely existing on the couch.
100%.
I know that hangover all too well. But it's nice when it's not the like death, I hate this, why do I drink at all kind of moment. It's like I'd rather just feel like shitty, you know, in a way that I can still do what I need to do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm never drinking again hangover. That did not happen. It was like the perfect, it was just like, yeah, that was, we drank a lot. And our friend came up with 10 bottles, but I kept all the corks because I'm just starting, like, it's a new place. And I was like, I'm going to start keeping the corks for all the bottles that we open here. There was only 4. I mean, we had 2 more at the bar, but like
thinking the math was a little off on that.
I mean, for the sake of exaggerating in the story, sure. 10. I just, you know, group chat, I liked it. I was like, but then I looked and I was like, no, it wasn't 10.
I don't think so.
Still, we did it. We did it. I was proud of it.
I love it. So you were wine drunk.
Yeah.
Nice, smooth. That's the best kind of drunk.
We danced around like the bubbles wines. Like we were like Brut Rosé to champagne to like, we were kind of all around. Like it wasn't just champagne bubbles. So maybe that contributed to it. I don't know. I haven't really done enough market research.
Speaking of market research, you've been working a lot with a couple of alcohol brands lately. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So I work for an experiential marketing company and we do large scale events and, I was at Outside Lands and so excited to see Nico spin. And then something pulled me away.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And yep. And had communicated with them on Instagram and everything. And was like, yo, tomorrow's the day. And then it was just like, I'm on my way to the airport. Something happened. Everything's fine. But like, I was so devastated because I just felt like, oh, that's cool. This is the connecting piece. It was a few months after Mark and Katie's wedding, you know, anyway. And I was like, this is like, literally the stage was like right across from where my activation was for the brand that I was representing. But I'm getting ready to go to Coachella for weekend one for another brand that Amplified represents. So I'm super excited about that. I don't know when this episode will like float into the world, but you know, as we're recording it, Coachella weekend one is coming up. So we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be a lot.
You know, what's funny is I used to do a lot of experiential marketing stuff. I was more of just a brand ambassador. I wasn't I love doing it because I got a lot of free alcohol. And I don't know if you get a lot.
It's not as much. You know what I think like the biggest like plus for me is I've gotten to see so like the list is, I started a list in my phone because it's just like so long and massive. The amount of artists that I've gotten to see for free. I mean, yes, I'm still working, so I can't necessarily fully like kick back and like watch the full show, but I've seen some of my favorite artists like across different parts of the country for free. Like I got to see the Foo Fighters for the first time last year. And I freaking love the Foo Fighters. I've never seen them in concert. And it was like, we were like right there, you know? So, I mean, Sting, Counting Crows, Lionel Richie. I got to see Lizzo.
Oh, I'm jealous of this.
It was like a smaller party for her record label. And my colleague, my supervisor, didn't even tell me she was going to be playing that night. And then all of a sudden, like, they're like announcing it and they're like, she's going to do four songs for us, like Grammys week, like a few years ago. And I just was like, are you serious?
So, that's amazing.
Yeah. That's so Steven cool. Tyler.
Do you know who's going to be at Coachella this year? Like who?
Gosh, I knew you were going to ask me that question.
I'm so sorry. No, like, you don't have to.
No,
you don't
have to. You know what's interesting? I do look and I don't look, and I do have it here, but I do look and I don't look because there's a possibility because of like the nature of my job that I'm not even going to be in the vicinity of the stage. Like I might be at an event on the other side of town because, you know, there's so many different day events and night events going on during the entire festival. Right. So especially for this one, I don't even really look because I don't want to get my hopes up and excited that I'm going to get to see somebody that I really want to see. And then I don't.
And then they like bail on the show or something. How many times have you gone to Coachella?
I think this will be my fourth time.
Fourth time.
That's not that many.
I've not been at all.
Yeah, I was just going to ask. Have you ever been before it? Like that wasn't a working gig?
No. And a lot of these same thing. Like, I remember the first time I went to Outside Lands, which is in, you know, San Francisco, and it's freaking amazing. I was like, this is the coolest festival I've ever been to. The way that it's set up, like, I mean, it is not cheap for a ticket and there's 3 days. So like you can either get like a multi-day pass or whatever, but I mean, they have a whole wine area. They have a whole marijuana area. They have a whole art area. They have a whole, I mean, there's stages all around. There's culinary experiences where they have like chefs doing demonstrations. They have, It's massive. It's in Golden Gate Park. I mean, to me, it's like one of the coolest festivals.
They have a marijuana area?
Yeah.
I think that was new this past year, but they had a whole at.
You can consume and purchase on site. And I think that's like a big deal. And like they call it Greenlands and they have this whole area. And I mean, aside from that, whether or not you partake, I just think it's so cool that they have all of this available because it just draws such a unique combination of people. Like, obviously you get like the festival people and all of that, but then you get like families that are like really interested in like some of the art and the food experiences and like some of the more daytime stuff. I mean, it's wild, but
it sounds way more involved than I ever realized it was.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
I mean, for Coachella, I mean, a lot of times, I mean, it depends on where they plug me in and where they need me, but I've done a lot of like the smaller, like just for like the support team for like Post Malone or something like that. And then he just plays like a few songs for like maybe like 100 people, you know, like some of those kind of things, or the influencer parties where they're giving away like, you know, I don't know, big brand, you know, like sports bras or like some sneakers or something like that. Like, so those are always cool. But again, it's like, I just kind of, I'm kind of like this, I guess, in life where it's like, just plug me in where I need to be. I don't have any expectations. I'm not like, I understand that I'm here to work first. And if play gets to kind of like Marie, like your night the other night, it's like, I'm here to work. I want to like fill this room. I want it to be an amazing experience. I want it to be a great event. And if I get to have some fun in the process, I mean, I never drink when I'm working, but like if I get to like go enjoy the concert a little bit, bonus, but you know, a lot of times that doesn't get to happen, but it's just an honor to be here. It's really where I'm at.
Fair enough.
And I mean, with events since COVID, I mean, it's just an honor to be anywhere, really.
Yeah. No, yeah. You're not wrong about that.
Yeah. I've been working in events for a while, and right now has been the hardest it's ever been for me to get work, like consistently. Yeah. And so, it's funny because I thought we were coming back, but it's not. I don't know if events will ever be the same because people love to also still do the virtual stuff, which not a bad thing, but it's still a thing. People are still.
Oh, that's interesting because I was going to ask you why you think that is. Do you think there was like a swing back to like everything like in person, and now people are like, you know, I kind of like the virtual stuff too, or like, what do you think that why?
I think I don't know. I'm just you know, from what I see, kind of view that a lot of people like staying in, like we have a strong work from home like call still. Like people are really still pushing for work from home, and so a lot of companies never came back. So you still need the virtual, at least, you know, for like you can do hybrid conferences now and all events. Like I think there's some things that it's in person or nothing. Like there's some things that are like have to be in person, but virtual really, it's maybe not, we're not using it like we did during the pandemic, but there's still people, you know, our former
employer
company employer is not their biggest revenue maker, but they still have a need for their virtual component still. So,
I just think that the landscape of the digital like meetup hasn't really changed, and so everyone kind of got the full brunt of what anyone could offer in a digital way, and it's like, yeah, this is good in a pinch, but not anyone's favorite, I would say.
Totally.
Yeah,
like better than nothing, but not ideal for the, I mean, I know for myself personally, like, you know, entertainment industry completely shut down, events completely shut down.
Right.
So then I was like, okay, and we don't have to talk too much about it because we're all so sick of talking about it. But I really learned in that process that I actually love being home. And after I get done with like a week ahead, like I have, like, I may not talk. I'm a big, like, I like to call people on the phone, see people in person and text, whatever, email. But like, after I get back from these long event weekends, I'm like, I need to recharge my battery. And I think since kind of this whole experience, I was like, oh, okay. It's like, for me, it's both. Like, I want both. Like, I want to see people in person. I still want to have those rich experiences, but like, I would rather us do this now this way than not.
Right. Right.
But like, you know,
you've always been sort of like a very intentioned forward type of person. Was there anything like growing up that like made you focus on consistently like either like communicating your intentions or like setting your intentions beforehand for stuff?
Ooh. Oh, that's a good question. I think that for me, it's just in my DNA. It's who I've like always been. Like I can think back to like some of my like early friendships and kind of the way that I functioned. But I think it really crystallized for me when I started studying martial arts. I think, you know, like any organized activity or anything that like created community or kind of gave you that like that feeling of connectedness with other people and like, or working towards a goal, whether it was a group thing. But I think it was I think it was martial arts. And then when I went into high school, like leadership, like as silly as it sounds, like student council, like I found meaning in that. There was like a charity event that I founded because, you know, eating disorders were something that was like very personal to my closest group of people. I was seeing it with people that I cared about very much. So I created a charity called Mr. Personality. And like, so I think it really started with that. And then kind of like went out from there. But like, I love that question. I'm going to continue to think about it and journal about it.
I didn't mean to shock Jackie on that one.
No, I freaking love that though, because I mean, don't we all think a lot about like intentions, like what is meaningful to me? What do I want out of my relationships? What do I want out of my work experience? Like, what do I want out of my, what is my ultimate reason? If we're going to go metaphysical, you know, I'm down for that. But like, what is my ultimate reason for being here? And like connecting with people, having amazing experiences, like sharing who you uniquely are, because we're all connected, yet we're all having a different experience. So it's like all of those kind of like themes just weave in together. And I'm fascinated by the whole meandering of life and how it like progresses, like it's still like reflecting on like, what is connection about? Like, what is digital technology provide that an imperfect, you know, all of those things. I studied that in school in communication. Communication studies was my major because I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I knew communicating was something I liked.
At least I know I can talk.
Oh my gosh.
Remind me, where did you go to school?
University of Kansas.
Oh, that's right.
Go Jayhawks.
Kansas.
Yes.
Was it one of those things right after college? Did you book it on over to LA or did you hang out for a while? Okay.
I'm originally from New York. My dad got a job that moved us when I was 9 years old. So I was in the end of third grade. My sister was in the end of second grade. Just so the mother, father, daughters moved to Kansas City. So we weren't in like farmland, but also I'm this New Yorker girl with a thick accent. And I'm like, why are we moving to Kansas? There's nothing in Kansas, you know? But had a
wonderful whole way.
Oh my gosh. I had a really thick accent when I moved. But all the kids would like be like, say park, say dog.
Say water.
The Kansas jokes from all my New York friends when I was moving were like, oh, the Wizard of Oz jokes. I couldn't handle it. But all joking aside, like I really loved Kansas City. I applied to go out elsewhere for college. Didn't end up happening. And I had a wonderful experience at University of Kansas. I really, really loved it. But I also knew that like, I like to finish what I start unless I consciously quit something. We can bookmark that later.
Okay.
So I was like, I'm going to go get my degree and then I'm going to leave. But like, so then, you know, as junior and senior year were approaching, it was like, okay, let's be real. It's probably New York or LA, might be Chicago. San Francisco's interesting to me. I applied to grad schools. I don't know why I just did. I felt like my parents never like were like, you need to get a master's degree. It just like, I don't know. It was just maybe like, I'll just move to LA for that reason, go to USC for grad school, and then I'll do what I really want to do. So I got into the grad schools that I wanted, moved to LA, went to USC for a year. And then I was like, this program is amazing, but this isn't going to help me on what I really want to do.
What was the program for?
It was for entertainment management. So
interesting.
I learned, you know, I learned a lot about the business of movies. TV, film, commercials. I for a while I thought I wanted to go into A&R and do like the record industry and do music. But like all of my professors were actual, like, what's the word when a professor is like
adjunct,
fully work to adjunct. So they were almost all adjunct professors because it was a night program for working professionals, except me. Like I was kind of one of the only ones that was like fresh out of undergrad. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I learned so much. Like Jeffrey Katzenberg came and spoke to our class. Oh, like all these like A-list managers, agents, you know, music people, music execs. And so I just learned a lot. But I ultimately, I realized that it was like, okay, if you want to be an agent, you got to go apply to the mailroom. They don't care if you have a law degree or anything in between, you know, so you got to just get out there and do the experience. So then I was like, all right, I'm just going to start taking, you know, acting classes for real and just dive in, you know, kind of like.
We all do.
Do it. So, yeah. Yeah, that's the story. And here I am.
Here you are. And you've done quite a bit too in film and TV. You actually just recently shot something. Can you talk anything about that? Or
yeah, I don't think I can say any like specifics about the production, but it's a feature film. It's a thriller. I got to do some really fun stuff. We filmed at this beautiful estate, like outside of LA. I think that's one of my favorite things about filming in LA is just all the different places that, especially when you're on location, you know, a lot of the TV shows you shoot on the lot, but if you're like lucky enough, like I've shot at some really cool, like the, you know, they shot a lot of the scenes from like Firefly at this one place, that I filmed this, like, it was like a teaser trailer and it was just like really cool. It just looked like, oh yeah, they shoot Star Wars type stuff here, even though Star Wars, obviously they create the sets and all that stuff, but it just like looks like this old weird town on one of the planets where they go. And this film that I was just on, it was just this beautiful estate. They had llamas, alpacas, they had a pig, a bunch of chickens, like a kitten, like, so there was like lots of things to do. I mean, I was on, they shot pretty much all my stuff like really quick in the 2 days that I was on set. It was a lot of pages, but it was challenging. It was fun. It was exciting. Female director.
Hey,
female writer. I've only worked with 3 female directors ever. And this was my third. And, her name's Lindsay Hartley and she was amazing. I loved working with her. Like very challenging, lots of like good meaty stuff for like redirection, but like it was really fun. It was really fun.
It's so rare when you get like a good meaty part and then also have fun.
Yeah, because you just, you know, like you don't know how it's going to be unless you're self-producing, which I've done as well, but like you just don't know what the vibe is going to be on set or if you're going to like be cohesive with your co-stars, but like everybody was like so nice and so cool, and like it was one of those dream situations where work was getting done but everybody was having a good time also. Wasn't impinging on, like, we had a lot to do each day. We were shooting, like, I think they shot the whole feature in like 2 weeks, so it was real fast, but like it was really cool to watch this whole team work. So I can't wait to share more details, but I don't have them at this time.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie.
And we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
It's not a big deal. Marie, like, does this feel anything like when you're joining like a new events team and like if the people are cool, usually the event goes well or whatever?
Oh, definitely. I feel like that's been a lot of the reasons, like the hard times I've had have been with just difficult teams, like just people who I think there's this, I find, at least in working in events that there's like go with the flow people and then there's not go with the flow people. Like there's and
sure.
It works on both ends. Like, you know, some people who are really high strung tend to get it all done and maybe they can pull off an event, but it doesn't feel like the same as at the end. Yeah. But like I think I have the attitude with events that like things are gonna go wrong, actually. Like
no!
You know what I mean? Like that's like my favorite thing is, and I always say this when I'm interviewing, is that my favorite thing is to put out fires. So I'm just like, let's go. Like this is what we're here for. Like, cause planning everything out, you can do that. But handling things that go awry. Oh, hello.
Hi, Jen.
Oh, the kitten. Hello, kitten.
She's so ridiculous.
Goodness. They know when we're on our screen.
Yeah.
All the time. Speaking of which, are Rebel and James nearby you?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. It is, I have to say it, because S-H-E.
Gotcha. So it, Rebel it is she.
Just yeah, it is laying on the rug, a French bulldog, and I don't know where the gatto is. That's probably good. So it's when I'm sitting at this table, it's a higher table. They know that they don't have access to my lap. If I try to sit like on the patio or on my couch or like, you know, of course on the floor, it's like, what do I need to do to burrow in between whatever screen you're using and and put my body on your lap. And then I'm like, I'm trying to like, take the computer and I'm like doing.
They're circling at all times.
Oh my gosh.
They're like sharp.
Like at one point, like I'm like trying to like rest the laptop on her back. Cause I'm like, maybe if I do it lightly enough, the lightweight one, she won't care. But it's like, it's kind of just doing this. And I'm like, okay, this isn't going to work. Forget it. No productivity. Oh my gosh. I think it's interesting what you were saying, Marie, about the high strung people and the go with the flow people. Cause I think I can be in both categories depending on the moment. And, I get along like really well with all of my coworkers, but I in moments of stress, it always becomes more challenging because like sometimes the communication breaks down or there's a disagreement about a way to solve a thing or a supervisor has a particular opinion about how it needs to go or, whatever, in the moment, in the fire, everybody maybe disagrees or whatever. But I think I find those human dynamics like so fascinating. And I think that like I've been thinking a lot about this for myself and I'm like, okay, if I really identify myself as a go with the flow person, then also the learning is I need to go with the flow when the high strung person is doing that thing.
Be a cog in the wheel so that I'm
being really really zen monkey about it, like it's like, okay, so this is my challenge as being a go with the flow person is that's their journey, man. And just be the dude.
And it's hard too because some people don't like the go with the flow person. Like they're like, why aren't you as hot? That's the word. And I think that you can be urgent, but I just know that for me, if I don't take a beat, I'm gonna miss something. I have to take that moment. And I get that, like I think when people hear that, they're like, well, there's no time. We all have one moment. Like, I'm not saying that I'm taking a 5-minute break. I'm just saying, let me do a breath before I decide what my next move is. But I know that I feel like that's been like, you either love that about me or you like, if sometimes I think there's some high strung people who just are like, you need to be at my level right now and act with this kind of quickness.
That is unfair to the person who's like experiencing, like, I need a beat.
Totally.
I would say that like I've worked with Kimberly before on an event and like, I am also a very go with the flow type of person. I'm not the leader type. And it's so funny because so many people always want to put me in the leader position. And I'm like, look, I know how to direct people and like be sub manager, but do not make me overall leader on this because I need to be helping out with like certain areas or just grunt worker. I don't care about that. But Kimmy is somebody who can take like the bull by the reins and redirect the like tromping machine that's coming through.
But I think that's a good thing to know that about yourself, because I'm also not a leader in that way. Like, I can, like, if you put me in a position where I need to help out, I need to lead, I'm going to be, I'll figure something out. But it's not like, I'm like, hey, you know what? If you're your captain, I'm, you know, I'll be rank and file all day, but you're going to get a hard working rank and file out of me. Like, that's
sure,
what you're
going to
do. So I appreciate people who could take the bull by the horns, but I'm also with Katie in that, like, I don't want to be the
and it's I think it's so good to know that about yourself. You're and I truly, like, as much as I love to lead, I do not mind following at all. As long as, like, what the expectations are of me are clear, I do not have to be the one directing the show at all. I am happy to get a clear directive and execute it. Like, I really, truly am. And a lot of times it's like, that's almost kind of a relief, because I organically go to that, like, fine, I'll, like, organize this or do this or run the show. But it's like, it's kind of so nice to just be like, cool, I trust you, just tell me what I need to do. And also, like, I'm like, I want an A. I'm like, did I do it? Did I do it how you wanted to? Like, here, look what I did. Right. I used to teach martial arts to kids. And teaching martial arts in general is, you know, you're always teaching in general, let's take it wider. Mm. You're always learning from your students, of course. But one of the things that I would always do as a teacher was I would go in with a lesson plan. I would go, like, my structure was kind of already created by the studio. It was understood you would do a warm up for this amount of time, you know, da 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 da, and end with a game or meditation or flip flop them or whatever. So I always had, like, my curriculum for the day set up. But very quickly after I'd started teaching for, like, not even a long amount of time, I was like, oh, it's really important for me to also be able to, like, leave that plan and completely restructure it. If Marie's doing something in class that, like, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, you know what? We actually need to work on, like, a kicking drill, or these kids are just, their focus just isn't there today. Let's do this other game. So I guess the whole point being, like, come in with a structure and be able to pivot if I need to. And I think that's, like, I think that's, like, a great metaphor for life in general. Yeah, you're like, definitely. Okay, you know, my plan was to leave the house at this amount of time and head, you know, east to go to this place. And then, like, there was an accident. So, like, I'm just going to have to go, okay, do we want to reschedule? Do we want to reroute? Do we want to, you know, like, do you want to come halfway and meet me? Like, whatever. But, like, but I think where the high strung people maybe need the more calm, collected, go with the flow people is in those moments to just kind of, like, one of my favorite movies is The Big Lebowski. Sorry. My favorite movie is The Big Lebowski.
Ah!
And it's just like, be more like the dude and just be like, can I say the F word?
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Hey, nothing is fucked here. Like, it's cool. Like, we're good, you know? And like what a great thing for a high strung person to, like, have someone like you in front of them and to go, okay, you're right. Cause we're not making good decisions when our cortisol is, like, going crazy.
Yeah.
We're making impulsive decisions or decisions based on pressure, or we're angry in traffic and then we bump the car in front of us or whatever happens, you know? And it's like, I think about those kind of, like, themes all the time. And I love events for that, because as much as I hope this will be, like, an effortless, easy, no issues, no, you know, everything gets printed perfectly and, you know, any of the builds we have come together perfectly, it's like, you know, in events, in as in life, that, like, something might happen, but it's like, we're going to just go, okay, I'm not the one in charge in this weekend, but it's just like, what do my supervisors need me to do as part of my role to help solve the problem, you know? And then, you know, you do the best that you can, you know, in the situation. So, but there's always a fire drill, at least you know, at some point there is. And it's just like not letting, like, it live. Do you have anxiety dreams about events? Cause I do.
All the time.
Oh, well, I mean, I have anxiety.
I have anxiety,
which is
funny. Anxiety, cake, cereal.
Yeah, it's whatever the new fear of the day is. But I think I do initially, but I think I don't know. I think I feel like, and this is, maybe it's just ADHD, I've been running on plan B my whole life anyways. Like, when you distract easily, you have to remember how to get back to the point, right? You know, there's got to be another way to figure it out. Yeah. So yeah. I don't know.
Well, I feel like, Kimmy, you're kind of experiencing a little bit of plan Bs lately, not like having an abortion.
You've been not experiencing that.
You often, anytime I see you kind of going through like either bigger life changes or whatever, you seem to always recenter yourself. Like, what is your focus, or what intention do you set when like things are going off the rails for you?
I've been thinking about that a lot lately. I freaking love that question. I think that the gift when things like that happen, whether it's like a life change, a job thing, a health scare, relationship changes, like any of those kind of like major things, of course, a loss of someone you care about, is just, I always make an attempt to take inventory of, God, it said so much of what I'm grateful for, but
I asked a similar question to our guest that was yesterday, and she said very much writing down gratitude stuff, but please keep going. I'm so sorry to interrupt. That's why I'm
so, so gratitude, but also everything that is happening for me in my life right now, because there are a lot of like changes and things that like might be perceived from an outside source or somebody, you know, outside of like my immediate circle that would be like, that's some shit that she's going through. Like maybe qualify it as like awful or bad or sad or whatever, but it's like, it's just what's happening for me, not to me. First of all, I look at it that way. And then I want to pull the string, all the way through, is that like, I really, really dive into like, what am I grateful for? Because I have maybe my relationship is ending and that is devastating in its own way, but that doesn't define everything that I am, of course. And look at all of the beautiful things that are happening to me, for me, by me, because like almost every day there's a synchronicity that I cannot deny. Like everyone right now is talking, like, and maybe it's a buzzword and we're all talking about it because one reason or another, but gratitude is so important. Like, and talking about it and feeling it and expressing it. And especially if we're in a depressed state or something really like, because when life is freaking going great and you're making $1 million and your relationship's great and your car is great and your job's great and all that. Like,
that's a thing that people do? People make $1 million?
That's a thing that happens for some people. but life happens, and it's right. Just like being human on earth is rough, man. Like there's a lot of stuff that happens, you know, and that like, that's just, I don't know. I don't think I've ever been a person that, I feel blessed in the sense that like I naturally do gravitate to light and happiness. But I feel like the more that I like dig my roots in, gratitude is different than happiness. Gratitude is like really going, yeah, maybe like all these things are shit. And also being in reality of like, well, this sucks. My car just got totaled. You know, like what, lost my job, like whatever happened. But these, like, I have amazing friends. I have, you know, like, and it's not like things, having things. It's just like, I'm a badass bitch and I'm going to fuck today up, you know? Like, kind of.
Sorry, this is something that Kimmy actually sent to me earlier in the day, but explain what the I'm a badass.
Borrowed. Yeah. So Dax Shepard spoke on Jimmy Kimmel about a conversation that he was having in the after like fact check area of his podcast, Armchair Expert. And his daughter had had a really bad night's sleep. She wasn't feeling well. She was expressing this to him. So Dax walks his daughter over to the mirror. She's 11 years old. And he said, repeat after me. I'm a badass bitch. She did it. And I'm going to fuck today up. And she did it. And then he said, do you feel better? And she goes, I'm ready. Let's go. And then Kristen Bell, his wife, used it on set. And, you know, there's another fun little bit that kind of came out of there. But
it's incredible. Yeah, especially like their makeup artists like put it all over the mirrors and things like that. And I guess one of the makeup artists
paraphrased it wrong
and was like, it was a terrible day for Kristen on like one of the days was like for set, and she's kind of crying in the makeup chair, and the makeup artist was like, remember, you're a bitch and you're gonna fuck it up.
You're gonna fuck everything up.
And it's like, oh, so close.
Like, she's probably feeling like so bad about herself. Who knows what happened? Like, whatever. It's like, just remember, Kristen, you're a bitch.
You're a bitch. He fucked it up. Which honestly, like, when you like understand the context of where it's coming from, it makes you laugh even harder.
Yeah.
And also Kristen, because she probably like she needed to hear that version of the wisdom. You know what I mean? Because that was what I don't know. I don't know. I've always been fascinated by the concept of yin and yang, of, you know, balance in the universe. And it's like sometimes when all those like things are happening, like the example that we just said, like awful day on set, or nothing's going right in the, you know, in the event, everything, whatever's happening is just like the opposite exists. It's like just about finding it, seeing it, you know, it exists in there for sure. So, I don't know if I even fully answered your question, but boy, I like to talk.
I know, I appreciate it. I really do. What's something that everybody's grateful for right now?
Go Marie.
I'm just grateful. I mean, really am like continuing to be grateful to be back in San Francisco, specifically where I am in San Francisco. And that I've got like some work, you know, I didn't have any for a while. So I think I'm riding that out right now. Especially being in a new space, it feels so much better. You know, I have a lot more calm in my life now. So I just want to keep riding this wave.
Oh yeah. Are you getting better?
I think that's interesting that you said calm in your life, because it's like, it sounds like the event, I mean, 350 people, like an event like that is the opposite of calm. And again, like, so there we go with the theme of balance. It's just like, because your work life is so like energized and like, it's got all that stuff like that. You crave that in your home. I'm the same way.
Yeah.
You know, like salt lamps and dim lighting, and like I want everything to be like, I see all your plants, those are beautiful, like
you guys have some really great looking plants, and that you actually take care of them.
I try
I try too, but mine all die.
Same. I'm just now realizing I have a couple of herbs I haven't checked on in a couple days, and I'm like, they're probably dead. It's always the case.
And it's not the same as pets. Not, so if anybody's gonna say that, it's not the same. I can keep my pets alive just fine. Right. I can't keep plants alive.
Right. No, I saw a meme earlier this week, and it was like, I don't think I'm a bad gardener. I think I'm the best gardener. It's just the plants aren't willing enough to live. They can't handle me.
Oh my god, that's like, amazing.
Sure, that's what we'll say. Not complete neglect or forget from this.
Oh my gosh.
I love it.
Kimmy, what are you grateful for right now?
I am so like a lot. I'm really grateful for a lot. I've been writing what I'm grateful for every day. It's really been helping me during this time. But Marie, I was going to say my geography too. Like, I'm really excited to be back in Santa Monica.
Okay. Like,
I lived here, you know, for so many years, like literally on this street that I'm back on. And it just feels so cool, like the cyclical nature of things. And like, I just love being back in this neighborhood. Like, so many things have like changed in a really cool way. And I just looking out a different window, coming in and out a different door. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Your what about you, Katie? Affect everything, like where you're at. Just
yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I guess maybe not for everybody, but yeah, for everybody, right? Like, some people just kind of like, whatever, I don't need my place to be, I don't know.
No, it's a good energy switch up, especially like if you've come from a tumultuous, look, I've moved a billion times in my life and none of them have been fun, but every time I go into
moving's
the next,
not fun.
No, it's awful.
No.
And every time I go into a new place, I'm like, oh, I love this about this place, or I love that. And like,
mm-hmm.
there's definitely a part of me that's like, I'm going to miss this aspect when I eventually move. And I may have found my forever home in this apartment with Mark.
It's a great place.
It's a great place. I've never found any place as stable as this, even though it can be as tumultuous as any place in LA. But
sure.
That's just kind of going with the territory. But it is impressive when you finally kind of feel like a little bit of safety in a new area. And
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
is that what mm-hmm. you're feeling right now, Marie?
Safety for sure.
Yes!
Good.
Yeah. I live in a great neighborhood. And I just think I was my hypervigilance and, you know, stress of living in a very violent city, you know, that not feeling like that right now is it's like I just get to put away a lot of like time. I mean, it just because I'm not thinking about what's happening, you know, around me.
Well, it's like the battery life is, it's like there's something running, an extra program running the whole time. That's what I feel like stress does. So then you're like, I'm at a 0% battery at 4 p.m. when like I know that like I deserve to have a longer battery life. You know what I mean? Like that's what I feel like stress does to us. It's just like, and sometimes it burns you out even faster that you're just like, oh my gosh, I just like need to go to sleep. Like today I can't function today, you know?
Yeah.
So,
and it's a terrible
thing. So good.
So it sounds like you're recharging your battery a little bit more these days, which I freaking love to hear. I'm grateful for that. You know, I'm grateful to hear that, like, I mean, it your apartment I can see behind you is coming together a little bit more and more, and like, what a great thing having the jobs. I'm so grateful for that.
Yeah, I needed this.
You did,
yeah, you did,
and I'm really glad. I'm really glad. But on a personal level, I'm grateful for Mark. I love the fact that we're going on our honeymoon soon, and I am also so glad, like. There are so many things that I keep getting reminded, like, oh, you get to go on vacation, but like for real this time. Like, it doesn't have to do with a family member. It's not to celebrate somebody for a big achievement. It's, you know, it's Mark and I, and I'm very excited to just be able to relax with my partner.
Yeah.
It's your vacation. Yeah. And level up. It's your honeymoon. Tell everybody. Oh, they will give you things.
I'm almost like debating on getting some kind of like stupid sash, like a bachelorette sash, but it's just like honeymooners.
Do it.
Make Mark wear it for sure.
Oh, 100%. Well, yeah. Did I, Marie or Kimmy, did I tell you what I sent Mark on his bachelor party, what he needed to wear?
No.
Well, he had a sash that said "one clit, that's it." And his friends hated it, and I loved it.
I love it too.
You did good. Amazing. You did good. That's fantastic.
That's amazing.
Amazing. What's coming up in the week? What's everybody excited for coming up?
Oh my gosh. What's coming up? Well, Coachella's coming up for me.
Yeah.
And then Wide Open. Don't know.
Hey, that's
I'm so excited. I'm actually really excited. Usually I need to know every freaking thing that is like coming up, but I don't. I have some other events that are already mapped out for the rest of the year, one in May, and then I'll be at Outside Land, so I'll at least be in San Francisco in August.
Hell yeah.
I mean, everything's subject to change, you know, like, but like as of now, that's on the schedule. But I don't know. I'm kind of just excited for whatever is next.
Cool.
What about you guys?
Right now I am this is, I'm just working. I have a lot of like little gigs, so I'm just excited about that. Like that's, I get to work. I'm excited this Friday. I'm working a show that I think is going to be a lot of fun, and stage managing and just, it's like this at this place called Soma Arts, and they had a the people who were putting on the show had a previous art installation that I really loved, and it's kind of dedicated to the city and like the, you know, the people of the city and the culture of San Francisco. And so this is just another, it's like another version or iteration of that show. And I'm excited because it's always a really chill job, and I also always get to see really cool stuff. Like, it's where I met one of my favorite, you know, DJs now. Like, I was like, oh, I didn't, like, you know, just. Just so much fun to work those shows.
That's awesome. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Well, Katie, are you at all excited that you're going to Europe with your husband?
Oh, no, not at all. It is 1 week from today. And all I can think about right now is like, I just want to go. Like, can we make it today?
Yeah. Is it next week yet?
Can we make it next week now? There's even parts of me that have been considering packing already, which I know is insane.
I do that when I'm really excited for trips too. I like slowly start to like, it just feels like it's soon. I don't know. It's a mental thing that makes no bearing on the time.
None. It doesn't go faster. It doesn't go slower. It's just, I'm very excited about that. I'm also, I'm getting my hair re-dyed on Thursday, and I get to see my hairdresser, Bo, who, did you get to meet at the wedding, Marie? Did you get to meet Bo?
I don't think so.
Okay. That's not that I remember. Apparently he ran into Taylor Swift. And one of my favorite things is like kind of like mapping out, okay, what haven't I told Bo? Like, in the, I'm like, all right, because my hair takes a long time to do, so I'm actually very excited that like the 6 hours that I'm going to be sitting in his chair is going to be mostly about him talking about Taylor Swift.
Let's go. Let's do it.
It's exciting. Well, awesome. Well, is there anywhere that people can find you, Kimmy, and all the fun stuff that you're doing?
No, you can't find me anywhere.
Okay, that's fine. No.
I love
to be found. She put a smoke bomb down and she went away.
Yes. Weird. She disappears. Most of the time I'm in my house. I'm on my couch. I'm in yoga classes doing various other West Side Los Angeles things. No, seriously. Instagram, the Kimberly Fox. I go through these fluctuations of activity. So whatever, I'm there. Let's interact. I am on Facebook like hardly never anymore. Sorry, Facebook. Sorry about it. Or Meta or whatever. You're always Facebook to me. You can scroll some IMDb. Occasionally I'll be on your television, usually in the law enforcement role or, you know, presenting news or hosting a TV show or being a personal trainer, you know, showing the guns a little bit. And I don't know. I'm just generally accessible in other ways too. But so like, if you're cool, if you're not, you can
get out.
Stay out of my stuff. I'm into that. Very, very, very thick bullshit filter. So
yeah, that's true. And that's one of the
that's why I hang out with you guys. Yeah.
Amazing. Marie, where can the people find you?
Oh, I'm Mad Marie 13 on socials. I currently have to request me because I don't know if I ever told you this. Like somebody I used to date like found me and sent me horrible messages about all the things. I think I told you. I don't know.
Did you block them and then they created another account? Like it was like a crazy thing.
Well, I don't know what their name is.
Got it.
But I know that that's how they found me. So
got it.
I couldn't just.
So you had to. Yeah, I understand.
Turned everything off for a while.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, then you can probably see what Marie's up to on the Napping Through Happy Hour Instagram page.
Or you can request her and see what happens.
There you go.
See what I'll do.
I love it.
Well, and if you want footage of her being the coolest bridesmaid, or excuse me, Flower Girl ever. If you want footage of her being the coolest Flower Girl ever, you'll have to talk to Katie about that because I don't know where that exists.
I know someone's has to have it because someone we didn't have it. A videographer. We just had photos, and the photos alone are freaking fantastic.
But there were several people. I saw several different angles of videos on Instagram stories. So we need to find it.
Yeah, we really do. Exists. We really do.
It was legendary.
It really was.
It was like.
Like, it sounded like the crowd was really excited. And then you came out and I heard it was like a mini concert. It was just like,
too much.
No, I love
it. And I have to confess that I might have showed whatever video was floating around that I had on my phone to people that you don't even know. Because I was like, how was the wedding you officiated? And I was like, look at the Flower Girl. I was like, I know. It was the coolest wedding ever. I was like, so just, that's the baseline. Like, there you go.
I love to set the standard. I love it.
Yeah, you did. Crushed you it. Did. You absolutely you crushed it. I couldn't have had a better person leading the way. Oh, that was such a happy day. So I can't appreciate you enough. Part of my gratitude. You can always find me at El Sassy Pants, ELSASSYPANTS, sometimes with a Z if you're on TikTok. But other than that, you guys, just remember that the universe is chaos, so please be kind. Marie, is there anything that you would like to share with the audience advice-wise?
Yeah, if the doctor has told you you're lactose intolerant, it's time to limit the dairy. You're supposed to do it for a reason.
Oh shit. Did you just find that out?
No, I know. I just
you're one of those people that you're like, nah, I can have a little bit.
I push
lactates.
It.
Lactates.
Yeah, I guess I could try that. I've never thought about that. I developed lactose intolerance or like it didn't something that didn't come to fruition till I was older, so I think I just like to pretend like I've still got, you know, I am not lactose intolerant. I like to pretend like I'm lactose tolerant, but I am not.
Yes, yes, it wins.
Yes, every time.
I'm so sorry about that. That fucking sucks. There are great alternatives.
I think certain kinds of cheese don't. I think certain kind of, like, I think it's, is it soft cheese? Doesn't have, like, I think there's a difference.
Okay. A lot of times, I don't want to speak like I'm a nutritionist, but it depends on kind of your level of, like, allergy. But, like, a lot of times goat cheese doesn't affect people as much because there's a lower lactose level is my understanding. Personally, I think that you can reset your digestive system. How I did it a bunch of years ago when I was having a lot of stuff was acupuncture and Chinese herbs. I understand that may not be a route that's for everybody, but I used to be kind of intolerant to like almost everything. Like I had a lot of issues. So something you might want to explore, you can find really affordable acupuncturists at the schools. They're basically like doctors in their residency, and they do your visit in co with like a fully licensed acupuncturist. So like you're in good hands. And I used to do that for a long time. There's one in Santa Monica. It's like $40 a visit. You know, it's like super affordable. So, I don't know if you're at your wit's end and you're like, I must have cheese in my life again, maybe give it a try.
I'll look into it for sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Hell yeah. Kimmy, is there any advice you'd like to leave the audience with?
I don't know if I have any advice per se, but just be nice to each other, everybody. Like, everybody's going through something. If anything, these past few weird years have expressed to all of us, be nice to each other. And watch The Big Lebowski, because the dude is like Buddha currently. Well, actually, the movie set in the 90s, but watch The Big Lebowski and be like the dude.
Okay. All right. I love
the
that.
Dude. I love it. Slap it on a t-shirt.
Yeah. There's probably a few.
Well, thanks so much for coming on, Kimmy. And we'll talk to you all out there in the Napaverse.
You later. Guys, thank you.
Thank you.
It was so awesome to be on. Thank you.
Hey, welcome to Unstable Topics, a fast-paced, jam-packed, unhinged bestie podcast filled with facts, reacts, and made-up games in between.
We're your hosts, Sarah
and Maggie,
and we're excited for you to join our best friend hangout, where we surprise one another with things we find interesting or hilarious just to see how the other will react.
Our friendship might be totally stable, but you never know what your bestie might throw your way to knock you off your game.
So come shake things up, learn something new, and laugh along with us. This is Unstable Topics.
Donkey Lane is a magical apartment complex that contains immense power, but lacks intelligent inhabitants.
What is happening?
I'm getting texts.
Why are we getting a lot of texts?
People found out what we did.
Oh, dividing Mike Myers into an infinite amount of tiny Mike Myers?
Listen to 91 Donkey Lane for free on Spotify or your favorite podcasting app. More at 91donkeylane.com. See you there, you donkeys.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.